Hello, listeners, and welcome to Fighting Failure, the podcast where we discuss solutions to the climate crisis.
And in this episode, this very special episode, indeed, this is episode 16.18. Indeed, it is 5 times 10, the episode you have all been waiting for. We will be discussing Halloween. What are the problems, and how can you still enjoy Halloween while being more eco-friendly? So, let's start off with some quick statistics about Halloween. Around $5 billion, that is $5 billion, are spent every year in the US alone on Halloween costumes.
And most people buy new costumes every year.
So I just wanted to give you a bit of a background on my story with Halloween and how I've celebrated in the past. So as I'm sure you guys know, I'm from Australia. And in Australia, I think Halloween, we still know about it, but I don't think we have this sort of huge parades and trick-or-treating stuff that you might have in the US. But when we were in Malawi, there is a relatively large United States expatriate community there. So we did participate in the Halloween things. But basically what we did was when we were living in Australia, we went to the op shop, which is a charity shop or secondhand shop, thrift store, whatever you call it. We went to one of those and just got a butt ton of costumes because we were kids. We loved to dress up. So we went and got a whole bunch of secondhand costumes. And then basically every year, Sri Lanka, Malawi, when we'd dress up, we'd just go into the secondhand sort of box of costumes or dress up box and just grab whatever we wanted and make a costume out of that. Most years I'd probably be a witch with a hat made out of paper and a cape from the box. But yeah, that was basically what we did. And I don't think we've ever given out candy on Halloween. And this is just my family. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have candy on Halloween because I personally do enjoy eating candy on Halloween. But we would put out cringe alert, cucumber and carrot sticks for people when they came trick-or-treating. So anyway, that's my story. Now we're going to move on to the problems. Let's start with the problems. Now, the first problem is obviously costumes. So Hubbub UK, which is a charity, estimated that costumes are made out of 82.5% plastic, which is a huge amount of plastic. And furthermore, these costumes are generally bad quality. They generally only last a year. They start falling apart. But also, it's fast fashion. And it's well known that this industry has very poor workers' rights records. So you'll have girls as young as 14 working for fashion companies in Bangladesh, weaving together cotton or whatever it does, maybe more like nylon or synthetic plastic-based things to make bad quality things with bad human rights records. And then they're shipped across the world from Southeast Asia or wherever they're produced.
Yeah, and then some other problems are, of course, glitter. And glitter pollution is actually a huge thing. It's a huge problem. And so glitter on fabrics and glitter, of course, as you know, wears off. And glitter is just little pieces of plastic. And so glitter, of course, is being little pieces of plastic just super easily breaks down into microplastics. And microplastics are often cancer-causing and not super great for the environment, of course. You know, this is a huge problem with glitter on costumes, and also the fact that about 82.5% of plastics, 82.5% of costumes is plastic, and people throw away costumes on a yearly basis, and those go to landfills or eventually wind up in the ocean or on the side of the road, and as those break down into microplastics as well, then you have this problem with microplastics, again, coming directly from the costumes.
Yeah, and another problem that I forgot to mention with the costumes is that this sort of fast fashion, this unenvironmentally friendly production process is very bad for the environment, not just because of the bad quality costumes that end up in landfill, but also the production process itself causes a huge amount of water pollution, which of course ends up in the oceans as well. So plastic ending up in the oceans, pollution ending up in the oceans, generally the fabrication of costumes is not at all good for the environment.
Yeah, so I was just going to say as well, I was thinking, you know, what is my costume for tomorrow? Because my year group is doing a dress up and we're dressing up like Shrek characters and I'm Donkey because I'm a little bit annoying. And so I'm dressing up as Donkey and I'm going to face paint my face gray. And I was thinking, so like aside from the costume, could face paint really be that bad? And then I was just, as Oscar was speaking, I was kind of toned him out and I was thinking to myself, and I guess face paint actually is quite bad if you think about it. I mean, not necessarily the paint itself, but the fact that face paint has to be produced somewhere, right? Often cases, it'll be produced in China or again, in Southeast Asia, just like the clothing, because it's cheap labor there. So poor work, bad quality and poor workers' rights again. And then it's being shipped there, from there to the US or from there to wherever, Australia or wherever you are. And then people are buying it, and then there's an increase for demand. And so then I feel like it's just one more thing to add to this kind of global supply chains for these non-sustainable products. Although I guess the paint itself is not a huge problem, it is kind of also something to do with costumes, is that face paint could probably be something we could tone down on.
Yeah, and another thing with face paint, quite obviously, is that it comes usually wrapped in plastic, and often face paint comes in very small tubes, so a quite low sort of volume to packaging ratio. So I think one of the bigger problems with face paint is, of course, the packaging that it comes in, because we can't feasibly say, and I don't think we should say, that everything from China is bad, because there are some things that you need to be a happy, healthy citizen. But something like face paint is maybe something that you could go without. And so it's thinking about, what do you need? What do you not need? And we're not saying, you know, you should live in a shack in the rainforest, because that's not feasible. But you have to think about, what things do you need or not?
So our next problem is candy. So our number one point, of course, is unrecyclable wrappers. And I think that this is something that everyone, whether or not they want to be conscious about their kind of unsustainable actions kind of in Halloween, because I think a lot of people try and kind of tone that out for the holidays. It's impossible to deny that a lot of candy is produced in these unrecyclable wrappers. And so you get little Twix in its little golden wrapper, and you have to peel the wrapper, and then, you know, where does that go? And of course it goes to landfills and ends up in the ocean, and it's just another way for kind of microplastics to build up in the oceans. And so it's, you know, it's of course the wrappers is kind of the number one thing on the list. Oscar, would you like to continue with that?
Yeah. And so the thing about is that some plastic is recyclable, like plastic bottles. Generally, PET and HDPE plastics are recyclable. In some places, also PP is recyclable. But this kind of wrap packaging, just I don't think any country actually recycles them. So they all end up in landfill, which is obviously quite horrible. But another problem with candy is potentially bad agricultural practices. These things are dirt cheap, and that comes at a cost to someone else or something else. Or somewhere else. So something to think about is chocolate fair trade? Is it sustainable for the farmers who are farming those cacao beans in potentially bad conditions with potentially very bad pay?
And how is it being farmed as well, you know? And you have to think about also the sustainability of the product. So again, like we said, you can always check GMO products. If it's a I think a lot of things these days are GMO. If it's not GMO, it'll be labeled as non-GMO product, as a non-GMO product or an organic product, which means not only is it non-GMO, but it was sourced using sustainable practices. And that's the things which you have to look for. And I know no one wants to give up their little Twix bar, but it comes down to agriculture with food. And I think it's just a huge problem which people don't recognize, which is why we covered it this past season. And I think it's something which everyone should go back and listen to if you haven't already, because these bad agricultural practices that we get into and that we get sucked into, and then that just blossom and develop in their negative ways, is actually one of the worst things for the environment.
Yeah. So then the next thing to think about, maybe one last point, maybe a smaller point, because this is maybe not so applicable with Halloween, but if you have something that's like a gummy, so I don't know, jelly babies, what do people even give out? How the strawberry laces, something like that, something that's like gummy, or Haribos is quite common in the UK. Also, I just wanted to mention quickly, if you're in the UK or EU, GMO is not nearly as much of a concern. It is more of a concern in the US. So if you're listening from the UK, then you don't really have to worry about GMO, but it's always better to buy organic. But yeah, things that are gummy generally have gelatin, which is a animal product. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be eating animal products, but I think it's important to remember that this is probably very cheap gelatin. It's come from the meat industry, confined animals, bad, very bad for the environment generally to this sort of meat industry. Like we talked about in episode 10, is that the meat industry has a horrific impact on the environment in confined situations. So that's important to keep in mind. I don't think much gelatin comes from good, well-raised animals. So that's important to keep in mind as well.
For sure. And our next point is decorations. So everyone loves, I mean, especially if you're in the U.S., people love to decorate their house. It's just, you know, it's a Halloween tradition. So people decorate their house, but people decorate their houses. They decorate their porches. I know. They decorate their porches. They decorate, if they have a haunted house, they decorate the inside of the house. And it's all using these little plastic things, you know, that's the large majority of it. And so, and glitter, again, so microplastics, and these little kind of non-recyclable plastics, so like little plastic figurines or kind of these plastic-based fake spider webs and stuff, and all of that, you know, even if you use it 1 or 2, 3 years in a row, eventually that's just gonna end up in a landfill and end up in the ocean. And again, then that's just another source for microplastics.
Yeah, if you have something like a fake cobweb, little bits could fly off into the wind, or, you know, I'm not sure if this is a particularly strong point, but yeah, you have to think, like, is it going to fly away? How is it going to be disposed of responsibly? And so that's the thing with decorations, is that, is it recyclable? Is it made out of waste, or have I bought it new? How does it contribute to global supply chains? All those sort of things are a thing to think about with decorations. So now we're going to move on to the solutions.
Oh, wait, 1 second. I wanted to add, kind of, in addition to, pumpkins are a huge part of Halloween decorations. And I personally love to carve a pumpkin every year. And I usually go classic, and my sister does like larger designs on her pumpkins. But pumpkins are actually like hugely unsustainable. And it's just all this agriculture, unsustainable agriculture, and then purely for vanity. And it's actually a hugely unsustainable practice. I mean, thinking about the number of people in the world who are food insecure, and we're using food as a source of entertainment. And it's kind of a disgusting tradition, even though it's tradition and it's fun. It's a little bit disturbing that we use food as vanity in our modern world. And then, you know, where does that end up? I don't know. I'm pretty sure ours end up in the compost, which is, you know, not the worst thing in the world. But I think a lot of people probably just chuck theirs in the bin. And in no way is that sustainable. And again, like in the U.S., there's these especially orange pumpkins. And I think pumpkins used to be grown without GMO because, you know, GMO wasn't really an option. But nowadays, GMO being such a huge factor, in the market, especially in places like the U.S. and developing nations like Malawi, GMOs are a huge factor. And I mean, just I'm just making the assumption. I mean, the pumpkins which we have, I saw them on the counter when I got home from school 2 days ago, and I decided that they must be GMO because I've never seen a pumpkin that is so perfectly orange. And so then again, that's another GMO product. And if you go back and listen to previous episodes, you'd know that GMOs are just hugely unsustainable for the environment as well. So pumpkins are a problem, and there's ways to sustainably do pumpkin carvings, but that's something we'll talk about in these solutions.
It's not completely fair to say pumpkins are terrible because they might be GMO, because that's a huge part of our food system, but it's important to, of course, not waste your pumpkin. And in fact, I'll make that our first solution, which is that eat your pumpkin. Because if you're just buying a pumpkin to eat and you just happen to decorate it beforehand, well, what's really the problem with that? Of course, try to buy a pumpkin maybe from a local farmer if you can, or from a local grocer, generally likely to be better sourced as well. But I think one of the biggest things that you can do at Halloween to prevent food waste, because 15 million pumpkins are thrown away each year in the UK, the biggest thing you can do is just eat your pumpkin. Pumpkins are delicious. We have pumpkin on our pizza sometimes. You can make a delicious pumpkin soup. That's really good. You can roast the pumpkin seeds, have them in salad. That can be delicious as well. Yeah. Yeah. You can make a pumpkin pie. There's so many things you can do with a pumpkin. Just when you're gutting out the insides, just put them somewhere and make a delicious soup or puree. And then when you have the flesh at the end, also eat that in a pumpkin pie or however you like.
And every year when we scoop out the seeds, like Oscar said, we roast them, and my dad loves roasted pumpkin seeds. So, I mean, it's great. And you can do a lot with pumpkins, like he said. Pumpkin pie is a huge tradition in the U.S. I mean, people buy separate pumpkins for their pumpkin pie. than for their jack-o'-lanterns, but I think you can probably use the same pumpkin. To be sustainable, that's probably one of the better things you can do, is use the flesh from your jack-o'-lantern to create a delicious pumpkin pie. And we, you know, I mean, there's so many things. You can put pumpkin in salad. And like Oscar said, you can put it in on pizza. You can put it, I mean, you can put it in curries and stews. And it's just, it's a shame that it goes to waste. So again, you know, when you're done with your jack-o'-lantern, definitely turn it into food, because pumpkins are and really delicious. And one of my favorite things actually is pumpkin bread. And my mom makes fantastic pumpkin bread, and I love...
Oh, sounds interesting. Like banana bread.
My face full of pumpkin bread. Yeah, it's like banana bread, zucchini bread, pumpkin bread, all great things. And pumpkin bread is my favorite out of the three. And I mean, it's definitely something to try out if you haven't already. So please do put your jack-o'-lanterns to use when you're done with them.
So just disclaimer time, we don't want to ruin your Halloween for you. But there are some simple ways to drastically reduce the impact of your Halloween. So Halloween is a fun tradition. We're not going to be like the Grinch. We're not going to steal Halloween from you. Just enjoy your Halloween sustainably. Let's give you some ways to do that. That's our solutions. So costumes is the first thing. And I want you to think, what costumes do you already have? So look in your wardrobe. Maybe if you have a dress-up box like we do, look in that. Check out your friends' wardrobes. What do they have? Can you mix and match between you guys? Do you have any siblings? What do they have? Anything you could borrow? So yeah, like I was saying, my story with Halloween costumes is that we just had a box with a bunch of different stuff that we had picked up at the thrift store, op shop, charity shop, and that sorted us for childhood. And also, just a funny story I wanted to mention that I thought was interesting, is that we used to have this family planner that hang on the wall, and we'd write all the stuff that's happening, because, you know, when you have five people in a family, everything has to be complicated. And I think we'd got on Amazon, and it was an American design. And I think in August, every month it had like this monthly plan thing or projects for this month. And in August, one of the projects for the month was talk to kids about their Halloween costumes. And I just thought that was a bit ridiculous. We usually find our Halloween costumes on the night of Halloween. So just, you don't have to find them on the night. Feel free to find them a week before or whatever, but you want to be finding the stuff that you already have rather than thinking buying stuff on Amazon in August.
So one of the great things about Halloween, which I find, is the kind of idea of DIY costumes. I find it far more fun than going to the shop and buying a costume. You know, I'd much rather, especially being in Malawi, I'm kind of forced to do that. And I think a lot of people in the U.S., the idea is kind of like, I can go on Amazon and find a donkey costume and purchase it for like $10, so I may as well do it. But I think one of the joys of Halloween is creating the costume. And although my mom and sister are doing that for me, I get to wear it. And I think it's fun that we get to design our own costumes. And I'm just, to be a donkey for the Shrek thing, which my class is doing tomorrow, I'm just going to wear a gray shirt, put on some face paint. And my sister's friend had some bunny ear costume things, so I'm turning those into donkey ears. And I mean, it's the whole idea of DIY is just so fun. And I think that that's another great thing you can do. Like Oscar said, with like, he just had a ton of things, and he kind of like went through and found what he wanted, and he just made his own costume. And that's one of the great joys of Halloween, is being able to make your own costumes and make your own pumpkin and decorate your own house. And so, I mean, enjoy creating a DIY costume using things at home and things from your friends and your siblings and your siblings' friends and your parents. And I mean, I think that that's something which we have to all start doing rather than going online and buying a costume just because we can.
Yeah. And so the biggest rule here, I suppose, is don't buy new. Whatever you do, don't buy new, that rhymes. Buy secondhand. Like, if you have secondhand stores near you, which you're, if you're in, I don't know if there are any secondhand stores in Malawi, but Canberra, where I used to live, there's plenty here in Oxford. There's going to be tons wherever you live in the US. Just, there's often going to be really good stuff at a secondhand store. Like, if you're looking for something wacky, you're going to find what you need. You have one in Malawi?
Yeah, we have DAP, so it's...
Yeah, so I think that you one important thing to keep in mind to make this easier is that you can find like lots of cool stuff at a secondhand store or your friend's cupboards or whatever. But the if you go into it thinking, I want to be Cinderella, right? If you say you wanted to be Cinderella, and then you're going to struggle to find stuff to make Cinderella because you're going to look through your own stuff and you're like, oh, I don't really have any cool long flowy dresses or glass slippers. And then you look at the secondhand store and no, what a surprise, they don't have glass slippers. But if you just go and have a look and see what's there and then think, oh, that's a really cool red coat, I'm going to be Little Red Riding Hood. So if you look at what you've got and then make a character from that, that's a million times better than thinking of a character and failing to find it. So go in without an idea of what you want to be and see what's there, and then you can decide. And also just one other thing, if you really don't like the sound of any of this and you have your heart set on a character, then rather than buying it new, try to rent something, because it's rental, it'll probably be better quality because they actually want to use it more than once to get their money back. So it can be pricier and it's still not the best for the environment, but renting is also better than buying new.
Again, like if you have your mind set on being Cinderella or being Robin Hood or whatever you want to be, I think one of the cool things is, again, is that if you want to be Cinderella and you don't have a flowy blue dress and maybe you have a summer dress, like a beach dress or whatever, and it's kind of blue with flowers on it or whatever, and you want to be Cinderella, I mean, turn that into your Cinderella dress. Just do you, because Cinderella is whatever you want Cinderella to be. Cinderella doesn't have to be the Cinderella that's dancing with Prince Charming. Of course, you know, Cinderella probably goes on vacation and wears different types of dresses and different colors. And so, I mean, it doesn't have to be this picture-perfect costume. I mean, you do you. And I think that's another one of the cool things about the DIY. So kind of just do your own thing, be who and what you want to be, but make sure you're just using stuff from home, kind of creating a costume that is a little bit more sustainable using the above points.
So the last thing is just to remind you, don't use glitter unless you're, like it says on the package, like biodegradable glitter. Try to avoid things like face paint because of all the packaging they come in, and also try to avoid plastic accessories or whatnot because that's obviously not good for the environment. So the next point is decorations. So try to use natural decorations like autumn leaves, like maybe different if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. But I think trying to use stuff like if you're in the US or you're in the UK, there's going to be tons of beautiful orange leaves around. Maybe you could like cut some of them up and you've got some lovely natural confetti, or maybe organic hay could be cool as a decoration. And pumpkins as well as a biodegradable decoration that you can use, which of course you will eat afterwards.
And I'd love to put Vermont on a pedestal here because we have so many maple trees. Also kind of this goes through, I think, East Canada and through Vermont, is we have these so many maple trees and we get these beautiful like neon red leaves, and it's kind of the red mixed in with the orange and the yellow, and it's just these beautiful colors. And I mean, pick a couple of leaves, a sustainable number, of course, because we don't want you, you know, cutting down a tree and tearing off all the leaves. But, you know, maybe pick a couple of leaves from every tree and hang them on your door. Like Oscar said, organic hay and pumpkins. I mean, these are all things that you can easily do sustainably. Yeah. Or the leaves that are already on the ground.
Great. And the next idea, and I got this from a website linked in the description, is to make surprise boxes out of cardboard. So maybe you've got some packages in recently and you've got some cardboard lying around, like most people do, and then fill it with some stuff, like a surprise box. So let me just give an example. I haven't explained this very well, but like you could put spaghetti in a box, maybe in a, well, you probably wouldn't want to eat it after people had touched it, but, you know, put spaghetti in a box and then people have to like reach their hand in and feel it and are like, ooh, it's human intestines or whatever. Or this was my idea. If you want to be really gross, put baked beans in a box and then people reach in and they feel the baked beans. Yuck. So that's an idea if you're sort of doing an interactive haunted house, is make these surprise boxes out of cardboard and just fill it with some everyday stuff. And people will, when you don't have that visual aspect, it's really interesting, is that you just, whoa, what's this? ew, gross. And when you're sort of in that mental atmosphere as well, you're like, oh my God, it is human intestines. Ew. Yeah. And last but not least, if you do buy something or if you have bought something in the past, make sure that it's long lasting and that you can reuse it every year. So if you did buy, well, maybe this is a different example, but for example, we bought one of those synthetic Christmas trees in Sri Lanka like 10 years ago, maybe now. No, less than 10 years ago, but just about probably. Yeah, maybe it has been 10 years. And then we just used it every year since and plan to use it for every year for the rest of our lives. Because, you know, why throw it away? Because we've just kept it. It's been through like four different houses now with us. No, five. Yeah. It's been to five different houses, this same tree. So apply that to Halloween. Oh my gosh, you're back. Hisho, you're back. You're back. You're back. You're back. Oh my gosh, this is so much better. Finally.
What I wanted to add when the lag went up to 5 minutes, what I was trying to say was, and the lag was actually, listeners, at 5 minutes. I said I was trying to speak and Oscar didn't hear it until I was kicked off the call. So what I was trying to say was that I like the idea of those surprise boxes. However, I don't know if it's the most food sustainable thing to do. Just thinking about food waste again, I don't know how great an idea it is. It's definitely a better idea than buying a bunch of tinsel for your house. I mean, much rather waste like a packet of pasta than put, you know, two things of tinsel in a dumpster. But so definitely, I mean, if you're dying for something and you don't want to use tinsel and fake cobwebs and plastic toys, then definitely this surprise box is an idea for you. But if you can help it, I think it's probably also better to try and move away from stuff like that, because you are wasting, again, spaghetti or baked beans and whatever you're putting in there.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be food. It makes the most sense. But if you have some other household object, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But
I mean, even, you know, something you could do? I have an idea. You know, you got the pumpkin, and if you don't want to use the seeds to eat them, then perhaps you could gut the pumpkin and put the seeds in something where people have to like, or like something where people have to like reach into the, because I love reaching into pumpkin seeds. It's so, so satisfying and so gross, because when it has all the flesh on it and it's fresh and you're like reaching into the pumpkin seeds, it's just like this crazy feeling. And then maybe afterwards, Oscar, you just kind of shot me an idea. Maybe you could kind of put it out for the birds, let it dry in the sun, and then feed it to the birds or whatever, some pigeons or wherever you live, you know? So, I mean, definitely there's ways to go sustainable. You just have to be creative enough to come up with ideas like me and Oscar just did. I mean,
yeah, we're creative geniuses.
Yeah, we are. It's just about being open-minded and kind of actively thinking about what effect your actions have on the environment. Anyway, so our next point is candy. So of course, hashtag keep things local, which is a huge thing in my agriculture section, episodes 5 through, what is it, Oz? 5 through 10, episodes 5 through 10. Go back, listen to them. My personally favorite section from the first season. And you know, keeping things local, there's so many great things about it. I mean, number one, you know where it's coming from. So you know, it's much easier to find organic things that are coming kind of from local sources than to find organic things coming from overseas, because you know, if something is produced locally and from a local farm or whatever, you know that it's coming. You know that it's coming or not coming from a sustainable source. And you're also supporting local businesses by supporting local business. Yeah, what did I just say? You're also supporting local businesses by you're supporting local businesses by buying their produce. So it's great to buy organic local candy. I know it's not that readily available. Local candy is not really a thing, especially in places like Malawi. I mean, maybe in the UK you can find food that's produced in the UK rather than food that, like candy that's produced in the UK rather than candy that's produced in China. And the good thing about that is that that candy did not have to be shipped from China to the UK for you to buy it. Rather, it just had to be like driven along the highway so that it could get to your local store so that you could buy it. So, but I mean, to go super local on candy, this is not really feasible, but definitely it's a great thing to kind of keep it to your local area. So kind of keep it to your region. So if you're from the US, make sure it's candy being produced in the US. It's preferably if you're in the East, make sure it's produced in the East. Or if you're in the Midwest, make sure it's produced in the Midwest. And if you're in the UK, just make sure it's produced in the UK because that's a smaller area. If you're in a place like Malawi, a developing country, make sure it's produced in kind of sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, because it's really hard to find stuff that's produced in your, like, I'm not going to find candy produced in Lilongwe. There's no way. And even if there is, it's going to be, I can tell you, not very great.
What about like the pantry or something?
The pantry, but that's not really candy. That's like jams and stuff. So I could feed people like jam smothered crackers, but yeah, but that's also great stuff. It's great food. So, I mean, thinking about like gifting people things on whatever, I mean, you don't give people things on Halloween, but if you gift people things at Christmas, the pantry, if you live in Malawi, is great. So I definitely recommend it.
The next thing was that when I was reading this article as part of the research, it was saying that, oh, you can't have any homemade treats. And I was thinking, oh, Halloween, just make a batch of brownies and put that out. Apparently, like, maybe this is just in the US because we've put out carrot sticks most years, but homemade treats, because they could have poison or something, are potentially unsafe, which maybe it's less of a problem in somewhere like here or Malawi, because we generally trick or treat in a very small area with or with people that we know. Somewhere like the US, you'd, like everyone's putting out stuff for trick or treat, like, understandably more dangerous, and that the wrapper is a bit of a safety thing. But if it depends on your situation, whether or not you think it's okay to put out homemade treats. But if you can, totally, like make a cake or make cookies, that would be a favorite, I think, amongst kids.
For sure. I definitely agree with that. Especially like Oz just said, if you're living in a place like Malawi where it's kind of just like a neighborhood organized trick-or-treating group. So it's just kind of me, my friends, my sister's friends, and a couple of other people who are able to participate in a regular year. This year, it's just me and my friends and my sister's friends because it's my mom who organizes it. But definitely, I mean, cookies, brownies, cakes, cupcakes, all great ideas because there's that much more sustainable than than candy that's kind of been shipped from China to Malawi.
I mean, I don't think candy's necessarily made in China, but
US shipped to Malawi. You know, wherever it's made. Because I know for a fact it's not being made in Malawi. So wherever it's being made, it has to be shipped here. And again, like that's a huge problem with global supply chains. And then these candies are in non-sustainable, non-reusable wrappers. And so, I mean, and there's that problem. So I think, again, just it's a great idea if you can to put out kind of little treats for people rather than candies.
Yeah. So the next thing is that some mainstream candies do have recyclable wrapping. Stuff like Nerds and Smarties do come in.
Let me point out that Oscar is talking about Smarties in the, not American Smarties, like little sugar, like they're little like sugar pellets, basically. He's talking about Smarties as in little like M&M type things. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. There are some mainstream candies that do have recyclable wrappers. However, that will limit your options. Also, like a chocolate bar sometimes comes in paper and foil. Oh no, it's usually like a...
Yeah, that's great. Especially in places like Malawi, we have local producers of chocolate. And I'm sure that that's readily available in quite a lot of places. And it's produced in like... They wrap it in sometimes beeswax covered fabrics or in cardboard. And there's just these great ideas that are out there and you just have to dig a little bit to find them. But for sure, there are ways to sustainably source chocolates and candies without having to like give away cucumbers instead. Because I personally like my candy. I wouldn't want to have just cucumbers instead of like a bag of chocolate bars.
Yeah. So the next option, not available in every country, but TerraCycle is a company that basically allows you to literally just recycle the sweet wrappers. It's quite expensive. So maybe if everyone maybe had pitched in, you'd be able to basically get like what's called a zero waste box, which is just a bin that you can put all your sweet wrappers and they will recycle it for you. It costs upwards of £100 for a box. But if everyone in your neighborhood or on your street pitched in, then you'd be able to get a box so that everyone can recycle all their sweet wrappers from Halloween. So if you wanted to preserve a quote-unquote normal Halloween with all these sort of mainstream sweets that are wrapped in these unrecyclable packagings, then you can actually be able to recycle things. However, of course, there's still the problem of the agricultural sustainability of the candies.
Yeah, and I was like, when I was looking at the show notes, I was like, what is this TerraCycle? And then I realized I actually looked this up during the summer because I saw it on a package. It was like, scan this to see TerraCycle. And I was like, this sounds really cool. So I looked it up and I know that it is available in the US, I'm pretty sure. And in definitely in the UK, I'm assuming the EU. And I think in a lot of developing nations, it is readily available. And it's a great option, especially if, I mean, maybe just for a one-off, like maybe for Halloween, maybe you can't afford to do it for every month of the year or whatever, but it's definitely a great idea. Maybe you can do it in neighborhood groups like Oscar said, but I think it is definitely a great idea because they're taking these kind of non-recyclable plastics and making them recyclable plastics, which is a great thing. But there's this actually quite interesting, I just want to make everyone aware of this. There's this, and this actually was, this is a little bit pathetic. This came from my PSAT. I had to read something. Well, I had to read many things. One of the things I read was from an article, and it was about how actually when a recycling bin is readily available, people have the tendency to consume more because they think that it can just go in the recycling bin. It can just go in the recycling bin, but actually, that's not a sustainable mindset. So think about it as if you're going to put things in the bin, just put them in the recycling bin. Because when people get in this mindset like, oh, it's sustainable because it goes in the recycling bin, it's important to realize that it's actually not that sustainable. I mean, it's still being shipped from wherever it's being shipped, unless you are able to find locally sourced candy. And it's still wrapped in little plastic things. And I mean, whether or not that plastic is recycled, it's still plastic. And so that's something to think about. If you have a recycling service readily available, that does not equal consume more.
Yeah. Reduce, reuse, recycle is in that order for a reason. First you reduce, then you reuse. And finally, if all of that fails, then you recycle. Because it's important to remember, even in first world countries, a lot of stuff that you put in the recycling bin, especially in the US, doesn't actually get recycled. Because recycling in general, except for plastic bottles and milk cartons, well, actually in the US, how do you get your milk in the US? Do you get it in like a Tetra Pak?
Well, I know that in places, in some places, it's kind of the way it is in Malawi, it's UHT milk from the huge meat industry. But, well, I guess it's not the meat industry, but it is the dairy industry, which is tied into the meat industry, basically. But in Vermont, I mean, I know for a fact that it's from local sources, at least the milk which we buy, and it comes in these plastic jugs, basically. But I think that those are recyclable and are recycled by the producers, or at least are recycled in the large-scale recycling industry. So, yeah.
In the UK and Australia, they come in these HDPE, which is high-density polyurethane, I think, sort of things, which are also readily recyclable. There's also the PP type of plastic. So that's sort of, if you think about, again, internationalization is a problem here, but like a butter pot, I think that's sort of, or yoga pot, it's that kind of plastic is PP, or an ice cream tub. And that's recycled somewhere, but some places, but not every place. And now I can't even remember how I got onto this. What were we talking about? Recycling. milk jugs.
Recycling.
PP.
But I think we got a little bit off track. So so let's get back to Halloween.
Yes.
And so Halloween. Oscar's next point is upcycling.
How did you know? It's not like we have a shared show notes document or anything.
Oh, yeah. I read your mind, Oscar, you know, because we're so close that we have a telepathic connection. How did you forget?
Except if the internet in Malawi is not working, the telepathic connection breaks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So
So yeah, last year I made my candy wrappers and cut them up. Actually, it wasn't last year. There was no trick-or-treating last year. The year before that, cut them up and made like glitter. But then rather than like using it as glitter, I put it in a jar and it was a decoration, but it wasn't great. So I'm not, unless you're super DIY, upcycling is really not the best solution because in the end, it's got to go somewhere. It's best to reduce, but upcycling is the sort of reuse part. So that's something to consider if you're really creative or DIY, but for the everyday person, like average Joe, sorry if you're called Joe, then maybe not the best solution. Best to think of some of the other options. Honestly, if you call Joe, it's like a big problem in this world that uses Joe as just like the default name. It's like Joe Blogs. Like imagine if there's someone actually called Joe Blogs. Like there must be feeling, you know, there's people that are like called, their last name is Null, which is a problem because databases just read that as Null, like it's empty. So they'll just, it like trips up all sorts of systems all over the place.
Joe Schmo. There's so many Joes out there.
Average Joe. But then like, the president of the US is called Joe. Hi, Biden.
Yeah,
great to see you listening.
Yeah. And our final point is, let me just read Oscar's mind really quickly.
I'm sending it over. Definitely not via Notion.
Got it. It's reusable bag for collecting candy. And this is, I think it's already kind of standard in some places. I know in the US, a lot of people turn their, I mean, even here, what I do is I just take a pillowcase and I use that. And it's also a good mark. Like if I get at least half a pillowcase, then I'm good for the year.
I think I've just generally used like a tote bag.
Yeah. So tote bags, pillowcases, there's so many sustainable bags that are, I mean, there's even like Shoprite in Malawi, you can get reused plastics that were repurposed into reusable bags. And you could use that. Like there's so many ways to avoid just kind of the average plastic bag nowadays. So of course that's something, although it's standard, it's something I want everyone to make sure that you're doing because that is the most basic solution that you can take part in for the large scale Halloween event, because I know some people can't TerraCycle and some people, you know, might not be able to get local candy, or, you know, some people might have already purchased decorations or enjoy putting up their decorations. I mean, some of these solutions are kind of suggestions, like things you might want to look into doing. But definitely, I mean, reusable bags is something that absolutely everyone can do and that everyone should be doing.
And if you're looking for a tote bag and you're in the UK, you can get the Mission Patch Fighting Failure organic cotton tote bag for only £12 with free shipping on Halloween weekend. So if you've not got a reusable bag or you're looking for another one, then you can get it. It's organic cotton, renewable electricity, very sustainable, and free shipping this weekend as well. So shop.fightingfailure.earth if you're interested. But of course, if you've got a ton lying around, you don't need to get another one, of course. But if you're interested.
And that is shop.fightingfailure.earth.
Exactly. So most importantly, out of all of these solutions, is to spread the word. Maybe it's a bit late for this, but maybe you could organize a community-wide eco-Halloween where everyone is trying to do their best to make it an eco-friendly Halloween. And if you can't do that, at least encourage your friends and family to be more sustainable this Halloween, next Halloween, and for Halloweens forever.
For all the Halloweens to come.
So in conclusion, we don't want to ruin your fun and games because Halloween is super fun. But in its current state, it is also stupidly consumeristic. So let's change that. Let's make Halloween something that's fun and enjoyable and a celebration of the planet rather than a disgrace for it.
And with that, I think we are ready to wrap up. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening. See you in season 2.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.